Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Welcome to this Thursday morning Watchman Radio broadcast on Omega Radio. Trust that you're all doing well today. I want to thank dear friend Kurt, who sent $50 through the PayPal system. God bless you, dear sir. We received your blessing and your benefit. Well, folks, today I want to just get super real with you, and I really wanted to say thank you very, very much to our listeners and contributors. How many of you realize that the days that we're living in, it is very, very important to have a proper view of our salvation when it comes to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ? I was given a book yesterday from a dear elder, and he came to our home for dinner, and he brought a book with him. It was priced at $1. He did not sell us the book, obviously, but somewhere along the line, this little booklet that was given to him, or that he had purchased, was a $1 book. Somebody sold this for $1. I was reading this book this morning, and it was by Derek Prince, and it was called Foundation for Faith. And what I found very interesting is that on the very front cover, it's book number one of the Foundation series as presented on the Study Hour radio program. And I found that very interesting this morning, thinking about the reality that, you know, we're on radio. We're on AM FM radio. We're on internet radio. And Derek Prince actually had a Study Hour radio program where he was teaching on the foundation for faith. And I want to tell my dear friend and elder who brought this book to Patricia and I last night over dinner that the $1 book was worth everything to me this morning, because it brings me back to the reality of what we are doing on radio. And I love the scripture. I just happened to be there this morning in Hebrews chapter 6, and this whole book is about foundation again. And in Hebrews chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God and of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of the eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. And so many of the doctrines of our faith are foundational, and we're told to, you know, let's go on to a maturing, to a building, to a construction that is beyond foundation, and this we will do if God permits us to do so. And because we live at the end of 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 the ages, if you will, we very rarely go back to the foundation. We believe, and this is what was so awesome about this writing, that Jesus Christ is the foundation, period. And I love the way that Derek Prince laid this out. We believe in it. We agree with it. After 37 years of being born again or having faith in God, we go back to the very beginning, not of our journey, but we go back to the very beginning of our entire Christian faith. And that Christian faith is that Jesus Christ alone is our foundation. He is the rock upon which we stand and have built our lives. It is not upon Christian doctrine. It is not upon Christian creed. It is not upon Christian denominationalism. It is upon Jesus. And I have to tell you how refreshed I am in my spirit today to remember, to go back and to recall that this entire life journey is all about the foundation, Jesus Christ. And what I love is not only is Jesus Christ the chief cornerstone or the first of the foundations, he's also the last. He is the beginning, he is the end. He is the Alpha, he is the Omega. He is the first, and he shall be the last. In the book of Zechariah, they are shouting to the capstone, grace, grace. And we know that the capstone is also the cornerstone, and that capstone is Jesus Christ. He's going to be the end of all things. He's the beginning of all things. When it comes to the church, which is his body, right, that filleth all in all, the church, which is his body, and remember that, he is the head of the body, but he's also the chief cornerstone. He's the foundation. He is the rock. Oh, my goodness. Why is that refreshing? Well, we could lose sight of things as we're building. We could, you know, start marveling at the different doctrines and the different creeds and the different things that go on, and we could get into all kinds of things. But it is just a refreshing to me, which I thank God for foundation. Why is that? Well, folks, the truth of the matter is, and it appears to be true, the longer we are in ministry, that it's all about Jesus. Everything has to be about Jesus. And there are some amazing responsibilities that we bear as ministers of the gospel. We are going to give an account for what we have laid forth. We are going to be held accountable as teachers, and we will receive the double condemnation if there is anything in our administration that is not proper before the Lord. That's the book of James. It's very clear that teachers, be not many teachers, for they shall receive double condemnation, the greater condemnation. And you know what? I don't want any condemnation in my life. And I am just so thankful again for going back and remembering that Jesus Christ, it's all about him. It's not about the pastor. It's not about the apostle. It's not about the prophet. It's not about the teacher, the evangelist. It's not about Uncle Joe, Aunt, Uncle Mo, or Aunt Betty, or anybody else. It's about Jesus. And I, for some reason in my spirit, I'm just so deeply refreshed by that reality that Jesus Christ, and I love some of the ways that Derek, you know, put it out there. You know, the elder that gave me the book, we were actually in Israel together, and we actually were at a place in called Germantown, Jerusalem. And, in this part of Germantown, there is a burial ground, a cemetery that Derek Prince is actually, he and his wife have their graves in this plot of ground. And the woman that does this work over at this cemetery in the Germantown part of Jerusalem is a woman that her name is Patricia Salvinson, and she has spent her much of her life painting murals on the walls of this cemetery, which I had the privilege and honor of spending a couple of hours assisting with the elder, George. He and I were there painting, scrubbing, doing different things for just one brief moment to just put an inch on a 15-mile project, if you will. There we were in Jerusalem, in the cemetery, and there Derek Prince had his gravestone. And I find it amazing that today, probably at one of the most critical moments in my life, where, you know, we go, how can I put this gently and mildly and sincerely? Sometimes we get into this place of frustration. Sometimes we move into an area where, you know, we're working. We're not seeing the results that we would like to see. And after 27 years of full-time ministry and going back and just kind of going through the course of what we've been involved in, and then looking, sometimes it just doesn't look like, you know, this is what the result of 27 years ought to be. And so we're challenged. Satan kind of comes to us and says, you're a failure. You're not doing it right. This isn't working. Look at all the effort that you've put into something. And then, you know, you start lashing out in one way or another, and you become susceptible to a satanic attack. You become susceptible to becoming more perhaps divisive than unified. And it's all a mental work on the psyche, and it is a satanically energized attempt to shut down or spoil what God has been doing in the intrinsic fine lining, if you will, the silver cord in the midst of all these things, the silver lining. And so it's something where we have been told for weeks now, put on the full armor of God, because there is a many-sided attack coming against your life and against your ministry, and you need to put it on. And we do that on purpose. We put on the full armor of God. But I hope I'm making some clarity, some sense here this morning. I'm so thankful to have received this book from our elder George and Derek Prince and the ministry that he had on radio, and just the meaning of our salvation. And to go back and to remember that it's all foundation. You know, everything is dependent upon the foundation. And when things start leaning left or right or getting out of order, the higher you go, it's an examination of your foundation. And Jesus Christ, you know, are we building upon him? And this introspection of going back and examining, okay, have I shifted from something, or is Jesus Christ still the foundation of everything that we are doing? I mean, if you and I were to take away everything, take away our doctrinal, end time, eschatological view of the last days, if we were to just remove everything. I love it when in the book of Jeremiah, that Jeremiah went down to the potter's house and he saw the potter working on this vessel, and the potter totally demolished the vessel that he had been working on. He shattered it. And this is in Jeremiah chapter 18. Let's just take a peek at it just to remember that this is God's prerogative. I mean, everything belongs to him. Everything in the church belongs to him. Everything in the universe belongs to him. And the church, the fullness of the body. Let's look at this in Jeremiah 18:1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he had made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. And to build in a planet, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. So here is a revelation out of Jeremiah 18 about the potter. God is saying that if I don't like what the vessel has become, whether this vessel is an individual or whether this vessel is a kingdom or a nation, if it is marred and it is no longer representative of my thought, even though I intended to bless it, I will actually destroy it. And even if I have thought to destroy it, if it repents and conforms to my desire and will, I will repent from destroying it and will bring it forth into its intended purpose. The point is that while we are building, and we are God's building, we are God's work, if it doesn't conform to his thought, he has every right to destroy it. Whether it's a person, a ministry, a kingdom, a nation, if it doesn't fit the Father's desire, design, he can bring it down. And yet, if that vessel remains submitted to the Father's will, he will produce good things in it and out from it. So I just woke up this morning being very thankful that as we are in the place we are as the church 2,000 years down the road, and there's so much going on. I mean, the winds are blowing and there is a tremendous activity. There is a tremendous amount, in my opinion, chaos and confusion in the chaotic world in which we live. All around the world, you sense this chaos and confusion, and yet there remains a place of rest. There remains a place of peace for God's people. And I'm just so thankful that I was able once again to look again to the foundation of my personal faith, what life is all about for me, and it's not about anything other than Jesus Christ. And at the end, it will be about Jesus Christ. Everything is about Jesus Christ. And when our ministries become anything other than that, whether it's we're trying to conform to a creed or trying to conform to a doctrinal belief or conform to this, that, or the other thing, that could take precedence, and that's dangerous. That is dangerous. We are called to preach the gospel. We are called to preach Jesus Christ. We are called to preach the kingdom. And this is important. I do believe that the Word of God is very clear about the times we're living in. And I believe we just need to be faithful to do what God has called us to do, to remain faithful without becoming frustrated. And I just got a little frustrated. And, when things are not working, there's a tendency to, be concerned. Wow, these things are not working the way that they're supposed to be working. And we're so involved in this. We've been laboring in this for a long time. And we're getting a little nervous and we're getting a little frustrated. We're getting a little impatient. I know we're not supposed to. And I totally agree with that, that the maturing of the Spirit is that we trust God and we keep focused on what he's called us to do and we do it faithfully. Well, it eventually will work itself out. It eventually is going to be there, but we must pay very specific attention, personal attention, to what's happening around us and what's happening about us. And are we on track? Are we on track? And so this morning, I want to thank our Elder George for just bringing it back to where it belongs, foundation, the foundation, Jesus Christ. Everything is about Jesus Christ, everything being conformed into his image, everything being conformed into his likeness, everything being conformed to his desire, every member of the body of Christ functioning under his authority, under his mind, under his will. And so much of it has been revealed in the Word of God, and the purpose of the fivefold ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher is to have his mind, his thought, his blueprint for the body of Christ, and then build the body of Christ according to his design and desire. And God forbid we would ever begin to build according to our own design or desire or creed or doctrine or denomination structure. God forbid that. every individual is to be in Christed and or has been set by Christ in the body as it pleases him to function as a member of his body. I know these are, you know, we're coming out of maybe right field on this, but maybe we're coming out of center field right now. It's just important to be rooted and grounded. There was a prophetic word we received this morning by the Holy Spirit that God was saying, just set your head like flint. Don't look left. Don't look right. Don't look behind you. Remember Lot's wife. You have been building upon the foundation upon a rock that when everything is shaken, you will remain because you have been built upon a foundation that cannot be shaken. You have been given a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And so regardless of the violent agitation that is and shall be, you who are Christ's are building your life upon that rock, Jesus Christ, the message that he has given us, the kingdom that he has revealed to us, and we need to be rooted and grounded and built up upon that rock so that when the time of great shaking comes, and there have already been great shakings, many great shakings, churches have been shaking, individuals have been shaken, nations have been shaken. I mean, everything is being shaken that can be shaken, that which cannot be shaken may remain. That's the word of God. And how important it is for you and I to remain today rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. You know, I go back to those elementary principles, those first fruit principles, the elementary principles of the doctrine of Christ, that we are saved by grace through faith. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So God is stripping all of mankind from any boasting when it comes to our salvation. That salvation is a free gift from God in a person, his own person, within his Son, within the Trinity, the deity, his Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And I believe when a person receives that person, that we realize that it's not a creed or a doctrine or some facade, religious or otherwise, that is saving us, but God as a person, it becomes very intimate, it's very personal, and to that we rejoice. To that we rejoice. The Christian journey is fraught with danger in my experience and what I have read about many others in the scriptures and others who have written books throughout the ages, that there is a danger that we are on a journey and that the pathway that has been set before us is filled at times with many traps and snares and attempts of the enemy to get us off track and to move in another direction. Our life is a journey. And though we would like it to come to an end, I think every one of us would like to eventually come to destination and say, okay, we made it, because the idea that we're on a journey and that there are forces that are actively pursuing to get us off track so that we never arrive at our destiny. They're trying to steal, kill, and destroy, these active forces of the devil. You know, for those that really do want to get home, we just want to get there, you know, and it really doesn't matter at the end of the day anything other than being there with him, to be with God, our Father, our Abba, our papa, our daddy, to be with him, sitting with him in the bosom of his heart, and to meet Jesus Christ face to face and to understand the power of the Holy Spirit and to witness the kingdom of God and eternal life and to see that we have been in the roll call of heaven, that our names are written and they remain in the book of life. You know, there are scriptures that tell us back to, for example, Hebrews chapter 6, that put the fear of God in me, and I would think that it would put the fear of God in anybody. For example, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4, right after the first three verses, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. I mean, to me, that sounds like a born-again, spirit-filled Christian. Well, it's impossible if they shall fall away to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinks in the rain that comes often upon it and brings forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receives blessing from God. But that which bears thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. So what is he saying here? There are those that started out tasting the good power of God, partakers of the Holy Ghost. They saw the power, but they fell away. And it's impossible to renew again. And this is what I mean in the journey of life that we are in right now. You're in a journey. I'm in a journey. It reminds me of Paul Bunyan's, the Christian journey that he wrote about, Pilgrim's Progress, I think it was called, that old, wonderful book. But it has such meaning that there are so many forces that are trying to keep us and prevent us from entering into the celestial city and into the idea that we have been desiring from the beginning to meet the one who died for us and loved us and to make it. And some Christians think, well, it's automatic. I said I believe on the altar 25 years ago, and therefore there's nothing that's going to stop me from entering in. And yet we read again and again and again in the verses of the new covenant that there are people that have been saved and delivered. And you know this scripture, and I'm not trying to poo-poo anything, but I mean, I think it's pretty important when we read about people that perhaps – have started out really good and then found themselves not doing so well. For example, we read in 2 Peter chapter 1, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby, listen, and this is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, right? So here we have escaped the corruption. And then the next chapter in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome of the same as he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the corruption or the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse than them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog has turned to his own vomit, and the pig that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Well, that scripture in and of itself is talking about somebody that came to faith and salvation through their knowledge of Jesus Christ, and they escaped the corruption and pollution, but then they went right back into it, were overcome, and it's worse for them because now they know that they had salvation. They knew the truth, but now they've been taken over by the very pollutions they had once escaped. This is dangerous. To me, on this journey, I want to get there, don't you? I don't want to be sidetracked. And yesterday we talked about all the deception that is in the world, that we go back to 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. I'm just marveling at this verse that the Apostle John said in 1 John 5, 19. And I love the way he put it. And I'll start in verse 18. He said, "We know that whosoever is born of God sins not. But he that is begotten of God keeps himself, and that wicked one touches him not. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols." So the wicked one is trying to touch that which belongs to God, but he who is born of God keeps himself that he cannot touch him. The devil cannot. But we have been given an understanding. So we're on a journey. We are traveling to the celestial city. Today may be our last day on planet Earth. And the idea is the whole world layeth under the sway of the wicked one. The whole world is under the sway of the wicked one. That's what it says there. That the whole world lies in wickedness or under the sway, and that the whole world has been deceived by the devil. Jesus said in the last days, great deception would come. So how do we keep ourselves out of deception or being deceived, especially when it comes to our salvation? And you and I both know what the scriptures say in the last days. Many will come and say, Lord, Lord, open unto me. I've done all these works in your name. And he says, depart from me. I never knew you. Well, obviously, they thought they were saved. They believed they were going to heaven. Lord, open the door. The wise virgins and the foolish virgins. The foolish virgins are continuing on. They make it to the door. They stand and knock. Say, Lord, open unto us. He says, I don't know you. Well, they were virgins. They were in the journey. They had salvation. But somewhere along the line, they lost their oil. They lost their light. They lost wisdom, understanding, truth. Patricia, good morning to you, dear lady. How are you this morning? And mamma mia, maridad.
You can say that again. Well, here we are again, fighting warfare, spiritual warfare, that is, because we know we don't fight against flesh and blood. And the question is, how do we keep ourselves? The word does tell us to keep ourselves, but how do we keep ourselves? That's a question at hand, especially in the times we're in. What is happening is the great deceiver is at work, deceiving us in any way he can possibly deceive us. So what do we do? What do we do when we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against spirits, demonic spirits? What do we do? What I have been seeing oftentimes within the last month, over and over again, which is an old thing for me, and I'm sure for you too, those that of you that have been Christians for quite some time, is that we are being told now by the Holy Spirit, we are being nudged and we are being led by the Holy Spirit to put on the full armor of God. And you know, the Bible illustrates this battle against sin and Satan because we are spiritual soldiers of Christ. We are in warfare. And as the scripture says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but my husband, myself, and all of us are wrestling against spiritual hosts of wickedness. So we have to learn how to warfare. We have to learn how to fight. We have to learn how to cast out devils. We have to learn how to put on the full armor of God. That's why the Apostle Paul encourages us to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand. Listen to me carefully. Why? To stand against the wiles of the devil.
Yeah, absolutely. And Patricia, as we're approaching the Passover season, it's always a pretty intense time because God's given us these feasts to recall and remember. Each feast has its own buffet, if you will, of the Trinity, of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And yet when we get to Passover, that's a very intense time because that's when the Son of God is about to be crucified in the hands of sinners. He's about to be betrayed by his own disciple. He's about to be, let go or abandoned while he's in the garden. This is a very intense time when we sit back and remember this particular season. Patricia, I want to share this for just a moment. This is a prophetic word that I think has everything to do with what we're talking about. And this word comes forth, the trumpet is sounding throughout the land, and it is a call to righteousness and true holiness. The sound of the trumpet is a call to God's people to awake. We are living within the season of Isaiah's prophecy, wherein he wrote, arise to a new life, shine, be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for behold, darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon you and his glory shall be seen within you. Let me ask you this question. When you wake up, will you awake to everlasting life or everlasting damnation? Do you have oil in your lamp? Do you know that we are living in the day of great separation? Are you aware of what the Lord is doing at this time in the church? Listen, the time has come for the separation to begin. The wheat from the chaff, the sheep from the goats, the true from the false, the light from the darkness. Do you understand that we are living in the day of the great shaking? Are you aware of the fact that God is now beginning to shake the earth and the heavens? Are you aware of the fact that the day of judgment has come and that God said judgment must begin at the house of God? You see, we have entered into the day of the Lord. In this day, a great darkness has descended upon the disobedient and unjust. God is allowing a strong delusion to come upon those who were disobedient and did not obey the gospel. There are actual ministries and ministers who have error in their hearts and minds because they have not obeyed God, much like King Saul, and have attempted to receive their information from another source other than the Holy Spirit. They have no further witness of the Spirit in them and therefore have begun to speak and minister out of the imagination of their own hearts, thus causing the proud and disobedient to go into apostasy. However, this is not the case for you who love the Lord and have kept his commandments, which are not grievous. In fact, those who have followed on to know the Lord, this is a time of great harvest for you. Patricia, before I continue on, I want to give you opportunity. I really believe everything that was just spoken and read is exactly where we are right now.
Well, that's the truth of what you just said. That is absolutely the truth. And we have to be victorious soldiers of Christ. And the truth has to be spoken. And what you just spoke is the truth. We have to stand by girding our waist with truth. Because Paul the Apostle says truth is the belt that holds all the other pieces of the armor in place. There are two ways in which truth is a part of the armor. The first, it refers to the truths of the scripture as opposed to the lies of Satan. And Satan is the father of lies. And Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The great truths that we're talking about, you're reading right now with the Word of God, the Word that was given to you through a prophetic utterance, and the salvation that we have must be laced with truth, or else we're going not against Satan's lies. We're going to be destroyed by Satan's lies. You know, the Bible says many loves will wax cold in these last days. And you could be in Christianity for over 50 years, and because of the terrible darkness that has come, many will who have loved will be tried into an incredible amount of warfare. And through that, they can literally wax cold.
We are secure in our salvation. We are absolutely secure. You get to a place in your walk with God where you sense that security of salvation. And here's the security. I have turned to Jesus Christ, which means, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand something. When it comes to believing in Jesus Christ, it means believing his message, what is revealed in the Bible. Jesus Christ to us, we never saw him. We never touched him. You know, we weren't there the day he died. We have faith that he died on the cross for our sins. We have faith that he came into this world through a virgin womb. We have faith that he walked on water and healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out devils. We read that and say we believe that. But our genuine believing in Jesus Christ as our salvation is the evidence is we obey his word. We do what the word of God says to do. And by obeying the word of God, we work out our salvation. You see, the working out of our salvation is very simple. Do what the Bible says to do. Every single aspect, every single part of it. Obey the instructions in the Word of God and understand them by the Holy Spirit. Interpret them properly. Bring balance to the Scriptures, but obey the instructions. That's working out your salvation. Now, I want to make a declaration over your life today. And you have to be the judge as to whether or not you're going to receive the declaration, but here it goes. I declare over you that this is the third day of Jesus Christ, and he, the resurrection and life, is moving in you in a new and living way. Everything you touch is going to prosper, and life is going to go forth from the very presence of Christ in you, the hope of glory. I declare unto you that your light shall shine and arise in the darkness, and you shall be a beacon of light to those who are lost. I declare unto you that this time you will reap a hundredfold of the seed you have planted, and that your life will experience the overflow of the Spirit of God, and that the kingdom of God will be activated in your life. I declare unto you the finished work of Jesus upon Calvary, and that you now have the right to put on the new man and become a partaker of the divine nature. I declare unto you that you truly are a new creation, born again from above. I declare unto you who have borne the heat of the day and have been faithful with what God has given you to do, that divine favor is coming to your life, and men will begin to pour into your bosom those things that you have required of the Lord. God is going to make all grace abound toward you, and you are going to walk upon the high places of the earth. I declare unto you that a time of exponential growth is going to take place in your life, and things that took years and years to develop will now come forth immediately and suddenly. I declare unto you that God has accomplished a great work in your life, and he is now spreading his banqueting table before you and calling you to come and sit with him in those heavenly places to partake of the food of heaven. A new substance of fresh rivers of reviving waters are going to move through your soul. A great refreshing and restoration is taking place in your life, and there is nothing that man, beast, or demon could do to stop it. For I declare over you right now that God has ordained your blessing and has called forth the promise he has made to you, and that you will hold those promises in your hands, rejoicing as you now have received that promise. I declare over you that this is your season of release. You shall be released from every weight, bondage, sin, and corruption, and any other evil restraining thing that has hindered you from the life of God in Christ Jesus. I declare unto you that you will now begin to understand what it means to have an abundant life in Christ Jesus. You will go from glory to glory. The eyes of your understanding are going to open wide, and you are going to see the Lord in a new and living way. You are going to have a breath of fresh air as all religious notions are swept away by the breath of God. You are going to come out of the house of bondage, cross over into the promised land of Almighty God. You are going to eat the good of the land, and you will become the militant, triumphant church in the earth, walking through it and possessing all that belongs to you. You will not go out with fear, but power. You shall be led forth with peace. I declare unto you that your righteousness will become a tower of strength and refuge for those who have been corrupt but have repented. I declare over you a fresh wind of spiritual revival, and that all sickness and disease is cast out of your body. I command your soul to be delivered from the powers of darkness, and that the light of the world, Jesus Christ, will invade your circumstances as he sees your faith. I declare over you the love of God. I declare that God's love will not fail in any battle, and that you will walk free from all guilt, shame, and condemnation due to sin and unbelief. I declare over you right now the rest of God and the peace of God. I rebuke all worry, fear, doubt, and anxiety out of your mind, heart, and soul. I declare the miracle working power of God to be realized in your life. I pray that the angels of God would come to those of you who are in any form of prison because of the word of God. I declare your greatest moment in this life. Even as the Apostle John, who was banished to the island of Patmos, even so, you will get a fresh revelation of your Heavenly Father in the midst of your trials and struggles. I declare unto you that your present sufferings are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in you, and the riches that have been prepared for your life in all eternity, as well as in the here and now. I declare unto you a season of revolution in every area of your life. I declare a righteous revolution in you. Patricia Joy, I believe that this is God's will for his people today.
What you are speaking of is the new man. And we must do this in the time we're in, because he's taking us higher. These are the reasons we must go through some of the things we go through at this time, so we could put on this new man and be taken higher in the realms of glory. And by doing so, we become truthfully the greatest army that has ever been known and ever will be known. And by putting on our armor, the belt of truth, which is the first piece, we begin to commit ourselves to this truth, that we are putting on a new man by putting on our armor. And by doing this, we begin to live a life that is upright, transparent, and without deceit. But Satan is the great deceiver. So this is why we must walk in truth and not in deception. Integrity and honesty are vital for our Christian life, and people should know that they could depend on you to be a person of truth and a person of principle.
Amen to that. Hey, listen, it's 9:45. We want to open the telephone lines right now. If you're tuning into the broadcast and something was said that has inspired a conversation in you, question, comment, we would love to hear from you, the voice of many waters. The number to call is 818-369-0326. Once again, 818-369-0326. If you're listening right now on the internet, that would be the number to call. And when you call in, press 1 on your dial pad. We'll bring you right into the broadcast. We'd love to hear from you. We have a call coming in right now. Let's take that call coming in from area code 605. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. Yeah, this has been very interesting. The prophetic words that have been spoken and words of wisdom. And I do have a question concerning in the Bible, you know, the spiritual gifts, those 9 gifts of the Spirit that it speaks about in Corinthians. And there is one called the discerning of spirits. Now, that is one of them. And then the one that is faith. And all of these gifts that Paul the Apostle was talking about, we can have all of those operating in our lives, but is some of them sometimes stronger because of who we are, or how does that work?
It's interesting that you ask that question. And hello, I hope all is well with you in that blizzard that is going on in South Dakota. I know you're safe. And I know God's going to continue to keep you in the palm of your hand, his hand. But the thing that I wanted to express at this time about the spiritual work of the Holy Spirit is he moves accordingly as he wills through in each, every individual who has the Holy Spirit. Now, the first question we have to ask ourselves is, do we really have the Holy Spirit? Have we really received him as a fact that we can say yes? If we have, the Holy Spirit will move in each and every one of us according to his will, according to what is needed at the moment. For instance, if at that moment you need to know the difference between a spirit of righteousness and a spirit of deception, and you are opened to the Holy Spirit, and someone next to you is open to the Holy Spirit to be used in that manner, because the wisdom of God has implanted that within you more so than the one that's across from you, he will pick that up in you and use that. So he moves as he wills within each and every one of us, benefiting the whole as he sees to do so, as to the knowledge in which we have.
We all have the mind of Christ. If we're born again and we have received it by faith, we have the mind of Christ. When Peter came to Jesus and said to him, "No, Lord, you're not going to go to that cross." Well, Jesus, if he had his eyes on men, well-intended, you know, men in their words, he could have avoided the whole process by listening to what Peter said. But Christ knew his mission. He knew his journey. And so he rebuked Peter, literally said, "Get behind me, Satan." And so in like manner, Christ in you, the hope of glory, Christ in me knows what is going on around us. He does know. He has discernment. He knew all things. He knew that Judas was going to betray him. He knew he had a foreknowledge, but it did not deter him from doing what needed to be done. And so we as men and women of faith have to believe in the realm of discernment that we have the mind of Christ. We just simply know the truth. And, you know, and without that discernment, Patricia, I'd say that there'd be a lot more paranoia and suspicion in the body of Christ, especially in the days we're living in.
Absolutely.
We've got another call coming in.
There is the desire of God to help us to grow and be transformed into the new man, into the completion of God's work. And the Holy Spirit within us will move in that direction in that way if we learn to be part of his personality and allow him in to direct our path. And so often we do it in our own, let's say, our own understanding.
Sometimes we think it's our own intelligence. It has nothing to do with our intelligence. It is Christ in us where the discernment comes from. He is the gift. The Holy Spirit is the gift. Let's take this call coming from 479-640. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. Hello. Area code 479-640. Good morning.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Good morning, Vincent and Patricia. This
hey,
is a what a fantastic program this morning to be to start my day off. I just tell you, it's just incredible. I wanted to mention the lady that just called about the gift of the Spirit. We got to remember that we do have we do have free will, and the fruit of the Spirit. The number 9 of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And if we can learn to self-control everything that we're doing, we can learn to love and have joy, peace, and happiness, and all this other stuff. And the gift of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12:13-14 is something that God gives you, but we have to have self-control and do what he says in the Word of God, just like you said. We have to be doers of the word and not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And Vincent, I think I just love your program every day. I can't wait to listen to it every day. Sometimes I don't get to, but thank you for the messages that you give all the time. And Patricia, thanks. You do a great backup and do a lot of things that it just says a lot of good words. So I just want to tell you that I'm really loving your program.
God bless you,
yeah,
and thank you
Carrie.
So much,
awesome.
Carrie. And, yes, that
God
is
bless your
edifying,
health.
One of the gifts.
So, Patricia, you love talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and Terry just brought up that that ninth fruit of the Spirit is self-control. What are your thoughts into that?
Well, yes, that is, and the fruit of the Spirit helps us to develop in our personalities of character, and that's why God has granted us the fruit of the Spirit, to walk in it. We have to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. But our last caller prior was talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that's a different thing. That comes by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit, she wants to know, how does it operate? Do we have the right or the move of the Holy Spirit all the time to help in the same manner, in the same way? And my answer to her is, and I hope I made it clear, that the Holy Spirit does as he wills within each and every one of us. For instance, if he has need for a word of wisdom or word of knowledge coming through one of us for an individual, for a person, and it is to help each and every one of us be greater in our own walk in Christ. And if he needs to use a word of wisdom through perhaps one individual, the other individual may stay silent if the Spirit isn't nudging them to do so. But if the one who is being nudged begins to use the word of wisdom, that will help the individual that is wanting to hear a word of wisdom. If there is a word of knowledge, the same is true. So it depends on where each and every one of us are at the moment in time that this need comes forth. Maybe we need the spirit of faith at a particular time when we are again being hit by evil spirits in spiritual warfare. If we need that word of faith, that spiritual work within us, we must rise up to the opportunity and remember what God has told us to do. Put on your armor, go to war, cast out devils. That work of faith needs to work in us at that moment. If there is a need for gifts of healings, I may not be nudged to touch that individual who needs a gift of healing, not saying that I couldn't do it, but the Holy Spirit may want to use another individual that's seated next to me to help the individual who needs healing at the moment because they're more open to it at that. So he moves among us and through us as he wills to do, and that is how it operates. And many people don't understand that. It's like the gift of prophecy. Whenever there is a need for a prophetic utterance, one will have a word and another will too. But the one who's really nudged will rise up and speak it. Doesn't mean there wasn't another one among us. So he uses us at the moment, open to our ability to be used.
Right. And our willingness to be used by the Lord. That's extremely important. We have to be available to him. The donkey that God spoke through to the mad prophet, he could use anything, right? So I think anything that's useful to the Lord can be accessible. I believe what the Spirit of God is saying in today's broadcast to every one of us is I want you to be bold, and I want you to be very courageous, and I want you to be filled with confidence. But because you are on a journey, you are in a battle, and you are nearing the celestial city, so to speak, in your journey, don't be turned away at the gate. Don't look left. Don't look right. Don't look behind you. Absolutely do not look behind you. Go ahead of you. Confess your sin. Repent of all things that you know are wrong. Work out your salvation. Remember the blood of Jesus Christ. We are living. I'm telling you something right now. If you, I had this vision years ago, maybe you'll remember, Patricia, in San Diego, of a current of water that was so rapid that if you went and stuck your toe in it, it would sweep you away. It had that much energy and power. In other words, get away from the water's edge where the current is flowing. Get secure in the ark of your salvation, Jesus Christ. Go into the very bosom. Move into the Holy of Holies. Access has been granted. Go to the Father. He loves you. He receives you. He accepts you freely and fully, and get near to his heart and let him do his work in your life. Allow the Holy Spirit to have his way in your life. Let the Holy Spirit quicken in you and in me the things that are not good and are not going into the kingdom. Allow him to separate the wheat from the chaff within our own hearts. Allow him to separate anything from us. All worldliness has to be separated from us because we're not taking any worldliness into the kingdom. And we do not want to be deceived and think that we're saved when we're not saved because our name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And yet you go to the Book of Revelation, if you don't overcome, I'm going to blot your name out of the Book of Life. I mean, how is it even possible that the Bible says, I got your name in the book, but then if you don't do what is right, I'm going to erase your name out of the book. I mean, that should cause great concern to every one of us, or at least it should prompt us to examination. Paul continually exhorted the church, examine yourselves to whether or not you're in the faith. That's why the feast of Passover, first fruits, unleavened bread, what is coming to us in just days is so important for reflection, introspection, examination. It is imperative that we gather together. And if you can, wherever you are, you should find a body of believers that are going to gather together for a Seder meal, not through the religious tradition, but to commence a new season to remember the shedding of the blood of the Lamb of God and what it means intrinsically to your heart, to your mind, to your soul, that it deals with guilt, shame, and condemnation. It's so imperative for God's people to, Patricia, I'll give you the last words.
The truth. Again, the buckle of truth. What you're hearing today is part of the armor, the buckle of truth. We need to know the truth. There are so many different divisions among the body of Christ, different doctrines and understandings in different denominations. And we have to know the truth of the Word of God. And once that happens, once we have that on us, we're ready to stand against all evil. But that's only the beginning. I would ask you, if you haven't understood spiritual warfare, to go to Amazon and get my book, Deliverance, The Christian Bill of Rights. Come on, people of God, let's get together and let's do warfare and overcome the work of the enemy.
Amen. A full equipping in the days of great shaking. And ladies and gentlemen, if there's anything that can be said about the moment we're living in, it is a time of great shaking. We're going to see it. It's going to be spiritual, physical. There's earthquakes being decreed right now. We're hearing things we've never heard of, cyclone bombs. We're hearing about gust NATOs. I've never heard of a gust NATO before, but they had one in Colorado yesterday. Not a. Keep your head up. Keep your mind in Christ. We'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. I'm Pastor Vincent Xavier. Patricia and I have enjoyed being with you today. We trust that you'll go to Omega Radio. That's right. OmegaRadio.org. There's a roundtable discussion right now in session. God bless everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.